You came in that frequency.
Listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
That is right. You guys are with Midwest Paratalk Radio here on the Blockbuster Paranormal Powerhouse Thursday night lineup. And I'm Greg, the Japonimus. That's how I will be referred to for now on until I get a hippopotamus. And I have Joni on the line with me. Joni?
Hey, Greg.
A Japonimus, huh? How about that?
Snuffleupagus, but I'm thinking. It's more the Snuffleupagus variety.
Right, right. I didn't even think of Snuffleupagus. Oh, my God, I haven't thought of Snuffleupagus in like 20 years.
That just flies through to my mind for some reason.
Oh, that is too friggin' funny.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What in the heck is going on? Hey, what the hell is up with a tree falling down in the backyard?
Oh, my God. You, yeah. Well, my tracker, which is old. It's an old tracker, but it's my Egypt Valley tracker.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a motor, and you can go four-wheel driving down there, and we're going to try and get it fixed. Of course, I didn't have anything more but liability, but we're going to try and get it fixed.
Oh,
and,
no.
But it could have been the van. It could have been Kevin. It could have been the house. Half of the tree just, like, fell. It's a big, big tree. It's taller than the house.
Just all from the wind?
I don't know. The wind, from the wind.
I tell you what, the wind gusts, and when they were saying it, you know, 55 to 58 mile an hour wind gusts, they weren't lying, because I could have held up my arms and you could have tied a little rope around my waist and you could have flown me like a kite.
Yeah, it was really bad yesterday. The electric kept going off, and what a day.
I tell you what it really wasn't that much different than what today was either, because today was awful windy.
Yeah, it's a little windy here. It's just really cold now. It's like wind chill below zero. And
oh, yeah. It's
hopefully school delay in the morning for those poor things that have to walk to school. I'm hoping. A lot of people, the schools have started calling in.
You know, I always hated that. I always hated having to go out to the frickin' bus stop at, you know, sub-zero temperatures.
And or walk through town, you know.
Yeah, and then
a lot of them walk to school.
Well, see, every time it was real cold like that, the bus was always late.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, how in the world... You know, I there were more times that I was like, man, screw this. I'm going back in the house and miss the bus than I did those days that I went to school on.
My mom would be, get out there and get to school.
My mom was at work. I used to.
We rode the bus, though, we had to ride the bus. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not a biggie.
I was bussed. Stop
right by the house.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, y'all, mine was, too. Right across the street from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they bussed us into the inner city schools. That's when they first started the segregation stuff to let everyone know how old I am. And it was, just friggin' cold, and the bus was like 15, 20 minutes late, and I'm like, whatever, I'm going back to the house. So I get in, and I, you know, go to the restroom, take, you know, got my coat and everything off, and kind of thinking, man, how am I going to, you know, put this to my mom? Well, about that time, I look up, and the picture window faced the street, and sure enough, there goes the bus. So I call mom. Hey, look, the bus was late. I came inside to go to the bathroom. The bus passed me up. She's like, well, I'll call the school and tell them you're not going to be there. I was like, right on. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep losing you there a little bit. I don't know if it's probably my phone.
Oh, no.
You do. Yeah, you keep saying, I mean, there's nothing. Then you start talking again. It's probably this. It's still windy and stuff, and it's Comcast.
Right.
Is Mike on?
Oh, no.
Think you could give him a call?
yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God.
I had a reading on Supernatural Rising, and it was really quite interesting. I'm going to get Mike on right now. I'm going to get the Sandman fired away.
Yeah, they can tell me about that.
But it was pretty interesting. I'll have to have you listen to it. I'll get it, and I'll send it to you.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
Huh? Hey, what's
Are
up, Mike?
Full of enthusiasm.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
If I was any better, I would have another pink fuzzy pill.
You're a snuffleupagus.
I'm a snuffleupagus, that's right.
Okay.
Is it cold down there?
I'm freezing to death.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like 8, I think, right now.
Do you know, mm-hmm. I'm just going to make everyone sick right now. I keep tabs on, like, the vacation spot that we went to in July, and it was mm-hmm. St. Petersburg,
Florida.
Yeah, I
do that, too. Yeah.
It was 76 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, that's down in the Clearwater area.
Yeah, it was St. Pete.
Yeah, that's nice.
I was so salty about that crap.
Yeah, I know. Type up Virginia Beach and look at the beach cams.
Yeah,
we can see everything. That's even worse. Because then you're like, oh my God, look at those people.
I know, right? Then it just kind of piss you off.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys suck. I'm here, it's 17 freaking degrees, and they have a webcam on the beach, and there's people in freaking bathing suits.
Yeah, walking along, they're on their bikes and stuff.
There's something seriously wrong with that crap.
Well, if I was there all the time, I probably wouldn't like it. That's what I tell myself.
Shit, what the hell ever? Let's see, I don't have to shovel snow, and I don't have to wrap up like a freaking, I don't know, Yeti?
Eskimo Yeti. Yeti, man. He's got all kind of little edible names tonight.
Like I said, it's the pink fuzzies.
He's talking about Darvocet, Mike.
Yeah, I get that.
Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't.
Oh, well, maybe you were. All right.
I was hoping.
Well, you know.
And you never know. No, you don't.
You never know. Sometimes it's a family show. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah. By the way, just because I just got to say this. I just really got to get this out.
Uh-oh.
The Cleveland Browns are beating the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, really?
I haven't even watching it because
Robin's going to be really upset, Mike.
I hope.
Yeah, the Browns are like 1-11 or something.
Yeah, the 1-11.
Everybody's beating the Steelers, man. It's amazing.
What quarter is it?
Third.
What's the score?
They just now got 3 points. It's 13-3.
Oh, shit.
The Browns made a touchdown. A real touchdown.
Do we need them to write that
down? I saw it. Oh, man.
That would make my day. That would make the rest of my year, actually.
You know what would be funny? Well, the Browns beating New England.
No.
Anything football.
Anything that beats the Steelers, that's great. Terrific.
Yeah, too many Steeler fans around me, I'll tell you.
The Steeler fans and anyone that beats Green Bay.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Sorry, PC.
No, I don't really. The Steelers, just because of the fans, mainly. Because my husband is Ben Roethlisberger's cousin by marriage, okay?
Oh, no.
And
oh, really?
We still neither one of us like the Steelers. Yeah, neither one of us like the Steelers.
I'll
explain it to you later, Mike. Yeah, they don't live here. He moved away young because of divorce, and she married somebody else.
She's
but smart. Yes. Yeah, Martin's Ferry, yeah. Oops,
wow.
Sorry.
Sorry.
It's that regional thing. Okay, Greg, sorry.
Regional?
Well, act like we don't really know each other or something.
Right. I do that here, so it must not be too regional. There's quite a bit of people.
We don't know relatives around here. We have none.
Yeah, I keep marking them off my list. But anyway, oh, there it is.
And then?
Yep, no more gossip. We're done. We're done gossiping.
Are you done gossiping now?
Yeah, we're done gossiping.
What the him-haw hell is going on with Egypt Valley Paranormal? You guys got anything happening, firing away, anything going on?
Oh, no, we don't.
We're hibernating right now.
Right.
Yeah, just nothing happening, and well, everybody's really busy anyway. But
well, and that's
not really since Prospect Place, we haven't done too much anything.
Yeah. Well, we haven't either, really, or I haven't. We just kind of started getting ready for the holidays and whatnot. No, it was kind of funny because Kimmy J was saying the same thing. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's only so many people in the chat and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's that time of year, you know, there's two times a year that you know, the listening, drops
off. I'm getting stuff. I have to wrap my stuff in me and get under a tree or kids will find it. I'm not doing that. So I'm so anal about that. It has to be perfect. Yes. The wrapping has to be perfect.
Now,
I could wrap it like 3 or 4 times, but it has to be perfect.
I can't wrap with the shit.
Oh, I can, but it has to be perfect.
Oh, my God.
So it takes me forever to wrap the tree, trying to run them past Kevin. He's like, what's that? I'm like, no, free dad. He's like, boy, dad's getting a lot of stuff. I'm like, yeah.
Dad's getting a lot of stuff.
Yes, he is.
I've bought one thing and came wrapped.
So, well,
yeah, Mom wants a birdcage.
I know. She called me and told me that today.
That's funny. Mom has a cockatiel. It is so, it's the coolest bird ever. I just love it.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, I know. I wish I could find a blow-up hippopotamus or something.
You hadn't heard. We're talking about that particular thing. There is a moonstone, I think is what Serenity was calling it. And it's on eBay, and I bid on it because it's just too freaking cool. It's clear. It's a clear gem at the bottom, and then it kind of has an opal feel to it when it goes up into a deep color. I was just like, wow, that's for...
What's the bid?
That's
a right you have to tell me.
I think it was like I bid $2 on it.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, there wasn't that much. It was like a 99 cent.
Is it just a stone or a chain or what?
It's a hippopotamus. It's a little stone.
Oh, it's a hippopotamus stone?
Yeah,
it's really
a
hippopotamus.
Seriously.
Oh, that is cool.
I was like, no,
okay.
Shite. That's pretty badass.
That is cool. Yeah. I like that. So. Yeah, okay. I wonder what you were talking about. I just, yeah.
She sent me a picture of an obsidian one, too.
I like obsidian.
It was pretty cool. I mean, they had some really cool stuff out on eBay as far as crystals and stones and gems and stuff. So I was really honestly surprised.
That's where we used to get our stones and all our stuff for the shop.
Did you really?
Off eBay store. Yeah, he really good deals. Out of Lake Havasu, actually.
Really?
Some beautiful stuff, yeah.
We should talk some more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, we'll talk tomorrow. I have ideas flying. What?
Oh boy.
Well, you don't have to act all excited about it or nothing. Damn.
I just don't know how for these. Never mind.
Oh no.
Never mind. Okay. Let's talk tomorrow.
Oh sweet, Greg. Right on. Let's do that. Right on, Joni. We'll get that done.
Get her done.
Oh wait.
Am I pissing you off, Fafa?
Oh, wait.
What in the hell was that?
That was Peanut.
Oh, my God. It's funny.
That was Peanut.
You know Peanut, right?
Yep. And it was
Dunham Peanut.
Jeff Dunham.com.
Silence! I kill you!
Ahmed. I don't know. There's just for some reason I got on this Jeff Dunham. And you know, after they got in there and started doing that bit, it's not Dunham anymore. It's Dunham, and it just makes me laugh.
Is that the guy with the puppets?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen him. He's funny.
Oh, he's freaking right.
Like that terrorist puppet.
Well, he was in Wheeling right the Wednesday before Jamboree in the Hills, and we went down and saw him in concert. Well, and whatever he does.
Right.
Oh, he's hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Jambo. Yeah, my ghost, he's a jamboer now every year. He's a faithful jamboer. You ever hear of Jamboree in the Hills?
You told me about it this last time I was here.
Yeah,
was
it's like 4 days of totally drunken.
Right. It's like the Indy 500 here.
Yeah, something like that with a bunch of bands.
Right.
But, you know, they had Steve Miller there this year. I did watch him. He was
Steve Miller.
Awesome.
Right on.
Yes, Steve Miller. You saw him. Yeah.
I didn't see him.
They have some good bands there sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they had Loretta Lynn, like last year. She was awesome.
Who?
That Loretta Lynn.
Who?
Loretta.
Who? Loretta Lynn. Stop it. She was
miner,
awesome.
Coal miner's daughter. Come on.
I'm proud to be
a coal miner's daughter.
Yeah.
Ding.
That's amazing.
Right. Voiceover, Loretta Lynn. There you go.
Loretta who? Sorry, we went through this. Okay, what do you...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but, like, I'm tired of hearing about frickin' Tiger Woods.
Oh, leave him alone.
What an idiot he is. He's just an idiot, isn't he?
Well, you know, the thing
Dr. Drew says he's a sex addict.
Well, okay, but...
Dr. Drew doesn't even know him, okay?
Right,
Dr. Drew.
My thing is, you know, they're putting a lot they're over expecting these guys that came from nothing that now have millions and millions of dollars to actually act appropriately to, I mean, it sucks that he cheated on his wife.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand all that.
Right.
But he knows it was the wrong thing or he wouldn't be trying to hide it.
Right. Well, he was cheating on his wife, which, I mean, dude's a douchebag for doing that anyway.
There'll be a bunch of people, you know, so
right,
trying to hide it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't do it. He's a hypocrite.
Right.
You know how I am about that.
Right. I'm to the point now, and the only reason I brought it up because it was just, like, headlines that I was looking at earlier. But I'm like, dude, you know, okay. So he had 12 mistresses, and, you know, Gatorade is pulling sponsorship, and I'm sure Nike will be in pulling sponsorship and whatnot. Okay, well, they happen to say he gets like $1.9 million a year just for his endorsements.
Mm-hmm. He is a billionaire. He's got over $1 billion.
Yeah.
A lot of it, most of it from endorsements, though. But you know what? I can't believe she never knew a thing was going on.
Yeah, that's exactly
woman,
right.
And I find that really hard to believe that she never had any idea this was going on.
She was probably doing it as well.
Right, exactly.
And
she just didn't get caught.
Always a possibility.
Yeah. So, hey, what do you guys say we get the Sandman on with us?
Absolutely, I'm ready.
Yeah, we got mm-hmm. to chit-chat, and it's about 25 minutes past the hour. So,
is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, we probably all do that.
Let's get him and get him on. I heard he's sick, or he's been sick, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Sammy.
Matt?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, buddy, how you feeling?
Hey, how are you?
Good, good, good. I heard you've been sick, buddy.
Oh, a little bit. I think I'm holding it together, though. Fever's down to 99, so I feel a lot better.
There you go.
Oh, good.
You don't have the pig thing going on, do you?
No.
Okay.
It's been suggested that I had the bird flu, but I've yet to sprout feathers, so I don't think so.
Oh, no, see?
Oh, you're safe, then. It's just the regular old flu that we have every year, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. It knocks the wind out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure can, for sure.
So how you guys doing?
Doing okay. Sandman, this is my brother, Mike. He's in our investigation group. He's on here, too. I don't know if Greg told you that or not.
I hadn't yet.
Because Greg's just, like, talking about his hippopotamus and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
All right. Okay, good. I'll make sure you get that.
Another song.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You just kind of grin and nod and everything is okay, San. So, but yeah, Mike's going to be on tonight. He's going to be covering next week. I got a little dental stuff that's going to be going on, so I'm probably not going to be able to talk at all.
Oh, wow. I don't envy you, dude. I don't like the dentist.
Dude, I hate the dentist.
Yeah, he's got major dentists coming up here.
Yeah, I've got, yeah, like 16 teeth going.
Right.
Isn't that awful? I can't even imagine.
So
is it freezing out in your neck of the woods?
Brother, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 17 degrees right now with a wind chill of like 6.
Wow, yeah, it's cold here. We got 20 degrees here, but the wind's blowing like crazy.
Right, right.
Yeah, because I don't think you're too far from the Ohio line, are you?
Let's see, about 35 miles.
That's what I was going to say. In about 30 miles. Yeah, we're just.
Hello.
Hello. No, she's gone.
Did we lose Joni?
Oh, we can't lose Joni.
Surely not.
What'd you do, Greg?
Wow. I didn't do it. I'm going to blame it all on Mike.
Did I get dropped?
No, you're back.
You're back.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what I'm going to do, though, Joni. I'm going to go ahead and mute down my mic here, and we'll let you and Mike take the reins on this, and I'll jump in here in just a second.
Oh, okay. Say that. Well, is there anything you want to talk about with your group or anything different or new going on or any place you've been?
I would just like to say that the Fayette County Jam for Toys went very well. We had five bands. We were able to raise almost $600 to buy toys for children this Christmas, so I'm quite pleased with that.
Good.
Yeah. It was a nice event.
Yeah, that is. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew you guys were doing that. There's a lot of that this year. We usually try to do like the tree for the kids or whatever, but there's kids we know, actually, that probably aren't getting anything.
Oh, I agree. It's more widespread than people think.
Oh, it is. And they're right here in this town, and it's people you know, and it just kind of blows your mind in a way.
Yeah.
So we were contemplating on doing it that way, at least, you know, the kids we know that do need it, for sure.
Well,
people you wouldn't think of.
I'm getting to actually play Santa Claus this year. That's been a lifelong dream for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to do that.
Where are you going to do that at?
Oh, we're going to, there's a church over in Uniontown we're going to have the Christmas dinner at. It should be very nice.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be cool. So anyway, tonight we wanted to talk to you a little bit about something we usually get to talk about, which is the Jack the Ripper murders.
Absolutely.
Because I know you've done a lot of reading on that. I've done some, not a lot, but I always find it interesting, mainly because it's like psychological, because I love psychological type things and forensics, and that's my interest in it and how he managed to get away with it for so long and what happened. What actually happened to the guy, you know?
Well, I think I know what happened to him, actually, in all honesty.
Do you?
I've done a lot of reading on Jack the Ripper. Let me pull this up here. And I think I know who Jack the Ripper may have been. Now, of course, you know, everyone has their pick. But have you ever heard of somebody called Frederick Bailey Deeming?
No, I can't say that I have.
Okay, well, I think Frederick Bailey Deeming was Jack the Ripper. To indulge me for a moment, I want to read you something. Tell me what you think.
Okay, I lost you. Did you ever hear of somebody called and my phone went out again?
Oh, okay. Had you ever heard of Frederick Bailey Deeming? This is the individual that I believe was Jack the Ripper. Now, of course, you know, I could be wrong. No, we'll never know who Jack the Ripper truly was. But this guy fits the profile to a T. And if you'll indulge me for one moment, I want to read you something. Tell me what you think.
Sure.
Okay, now Frederick Bailey Deeming, born July 30th, 1842, executed May 23rd, 1892, was a sailor living at the time in Sydney, Australia, with his wife and four children, a British subject. Deeming was brought to court on December 15th, 1887, on charges of bankruptcy. Sentenced to 14 days imprisonment, he was apparently released on December 29th, 1887, and promptly fled with his family to Cape Town. Cape Town, South Africa, to escape debt collectors. Soon after arrival, he was brought to the attention of the local police on charges of fraud. He sent his family to England and headed to recently founded Johannesburg, disappearing for a time from historical record. There's no reliable account of his activities or whereabouts between March of 1888 and October 1989, covering the period of the murders.
Mm-hmm.
He resurfaced in Hull, in the East Riding of Yorkshire, England, where he was known by the name of Harry Lawson, one of his many aliases. well into a career as a professional con man, he apparently attempted to reconcile with his estranged wife. They moved together with their children to a rented house in Rainhill near St. Helens, Lancashire, in July 1891. The reconciliation ended on 11 August 1891 when he cut his wife and children's throat as they slept. Having introduced himself to the locals as a bachelor and his family's as a visiting sister and nephew, it proved easy to explain their absence. He wooed Emily Mathers, his landlord's daughter, and they married on 22 September 1891. The newlyweds left by ship from Southampton on November 2, 1891, and arrived in Victoria, Australia, on 15 December 1891. He murdered Emily 9 days later, buried her under their rented house, and left. Her body was soon found, resulting in a local investigation and the discovery of the other bodies in England. This led to his arrest on March 11, 1892, and his trial and subsequent execution by hanging. He is said to have been an acquaintance of victim Catherine Eddowes as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's my pick.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I've read a little bit about him. I didn't realize he had killed his those children and stuff, though. Wow. So did he disembowel any of them, or, you know, like the Ripper murders?
That was a question I was going to ask as well.
Yeah, that was a primary difference. He merely slit their throats from ear to ear.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was, I don't know if I saw this on TV or I happened to read it the other day. The guy, I can't think of his name, but he was from the United States and he went over there. And I wish I should have written it down. Anyway,
doctor?
What it came down to, no, it was just a man. It wasn't anybody outstanding. I can't remember all the details of why he went over there in the first place. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like he went there on purpose. I know that. But he ended up over there. And when he got back, he was a little wacko. Everybody knew that. And he ended up eventually in an asylum, in a mental asylum, I think in Pennsylvania. And he always said that it was him. And, you know, the time frame said, you know. But this guy, too, had done murders before that, before the Ripper murders. He'd done, like regular murders, apparently, you know, where he didn't, you know, go to that extent. And the time frame kind of fit, but he died. He was in his 70s, and he swore till the end that it was him, and nobody really believed him because he was already crazy.
Right. Yeah, I was reading about that earlier. I forget the name of that individual.
Yeah, someone I never heard of. This must be a recent thing that they've come up with.
Well, the interesting thing is that when the gentleman you're speaking of, as they pulled the lever, he was hung, correct? Is that right?
No, this guy died in the insane asylum.
Oh,
I'm talking about.
I see.
Yeah, he was in there for like 30-some years, and he kept trying to confess and stuff, and nobody would believe him.
Well, they probably just didn't want to open the book back up on it because they knew it was such a tough case.
Yeah, it is a tough case. Yeah, and there's
That's
been
amazing.
So many different
even,
people.
Even after a century, people still want to, you know, figure out this little jigsaw puzzle. You know,
mm-hmm.
oddly enough, yeah, we'll never figure out who Jack the Ripper was. But, I mean, what a fascinating study, and there is so much information out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think about the implication of the grandson of Queen Victoria, Prince Albert?
Yeah, I think it's all bunk.
Yeah, I mean, I can, in a way, it makes sense because it is such a political, highly public family.
Right.
That they would try to cover something up like that. I mean,
well,
highly,
it's, go ahead.
Supposedly he contracted syphilis, or was it syphilis or gonorrhea from a prostitute?
Syphilis, I think.
And then, according to some researcher over there, he said that he had went mentally insane from the disease, and they thought maybe he might be implicated in that as well.
Yeah, they think he was rather odd.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It would certainly be a possibility. But, you know, I don't think the world changes all that much. And you know how we roast celebrities and people of fame today. I don't think it was any different back then. Just a popular theory, you know, oh, what if it was the royal family, you know, along those lines. I don't put too much stock in the royal family theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, they seem to think the person had to know a lot about anatomy. And I, like a doctor, but I don't know if I go for that either because I wouldn't think you'd have to be a doctor to do that.
Well, what if he was a butcher?
Yeah, exactly. You could you could do that. And I'll tell you, we used to do our own animals when we were kids. We did beef and hogs. And my grandmother could do that. Because she, you know, she worked on those animals. She knew where to cut and to get in between the joints and, you know. Exactly. So that kind of, that you think that would narrow it down a little bit. It really doesn't to me.
No, not really. There was a lot of butcher shops in the Whitechapel district.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to say. Also, the Ripper letters are most interesting. Have you read the Ripper letters? And have you seen the scans of them as well? There's something most interesting about them.
Yeah, I saw a couple of scans, but it's been a long time ago. The ones he wrote to the press or to the police. To Scotland Yard, wasn't it?
Well, yes. I think he sent them all to the police, and then the police determined which ones to release to the papers. But mm-hmm. it's hard to pick which one is legitimate because the handwriting differs greatly in all of them.
And one of them, he sent along a gift of a liver or something, or somebody's kidney or something.
Half of a kidney. Yeah, it was half of a kidney. The doctor did examine the kidney that he had mailed to them. The results were inconclusive, but he said that there was an excellent chance that it was the kidney from the murdered woman.
Hmm. Well.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, it would just be with the way that... the forensics was so new at that time.
Was,
I mean, it's just so hard to be able to tell conclusively one way or the other. I mean, if you knew for real or if you, you know, you didn't.
Right.
Well, yeah, DNA would, well, DNA probably wouldn't because who would you get the DNA from? I mean, that's, you couldn't get it out of, you know, an old bone or something, but look how many you'd have to exhume to, you know,
get
a DNA sample to, you know, even try to prove anything.
Right, very true. The sad fact is, though, that a lot of the Ripper victims, their graves don't even exist today, which is a shame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would they build over them or what?
Exactly, exactly. I don't know if they had moved the graves or if they just built over them. But, yeah, some of the graves don't exist.
I know there's one part of London, I think it was plague victims in the 15th century, mm-hmm. that they built over. It was like a just a big pit where they buried them, and they actually did build over that.
Wouldn't mind going out there with a recorder in an EM field.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's just because they didn't know what else to do with them. It's down by the river somewhere.
Yeah, I've been reading
crazy,
all these letters.
Crazy.
Now, the Dear Boss letter is most interesting, too. What's unusual about this letter is the handwriting is immaculate. But
mm-hmm.
The sentence structure in it sounds like it was written by a first grader. I mean, doesn't that strike you as odd?
Hmm. Well. Hmm.
No. What exactly was in that letter?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's read the transcript here. It's brief.
Okay.
Let's see here. I got it right in front of me. Dear boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. They talk about leather apron, gave me real fits. I am down on horse, and I shan't quit ripping them till I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and want to start again. You will soon hear of me with funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it was thick like glue, and I can't use it. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. Ha ha. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ear off and send to the police officers just for jolly, wouldn't you? Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. My knife's so nice and sharp, I want to get back to work right away if I get a chance. It almost sounds as though he was trying to make it into a poem.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely taunting them.
Oh, guaranteed. Huh. And this letter showed up just a day before the one victim had their earlobe cut off. So they thought that this one may be a legitimate letter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Was it your boss letter? Now, the From Hell letter, completely, absolutely different handwriting. It couldn't be the same person at all. At least I wouldn't think so.
So do you think there's speculation that there were more copycats than just one individual?
I think one man did all the murders. But I think the letters were definitely copycats, at least.
You don't think there could have been two guys working together?
I don't know. The only murder that differed greatly from the others was the last murder, Mary Kelly. Now, when he disemboweled his victims, Mary Kelly, if you've seen the photographs, she looked like she went through a thrasher.
Now, that's the one he did it. He got inside her house and did, right?
Well, inside her boarding room, yes.
In her boarding room, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, she was, yeah, I've seen the photographs.
I don't want to get too graphic. This is a family show, but, he literally removed her face. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Skinned her, yeah.
Which one did he remove half of her breast and her heart?
I think that was Catherine Eddowes, I believe. Yeah,
this woman was a mess. He took her heart out, and I think he put it on a stand across the room or something. He had a lot of time to work on her. He just totally... the pictures are online if you ever want to look for them, and they are pretty graphic.
Oh, yeah. Anybody going to see these photographs, if you're faint of heart, don't look.
Mm-hmm.
They're disturbing. They're very...
Even as old as they are in black and white, you can still see what's been done.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it would be interesting to know that if we ever had found out who Jack the Ripper was, and if he had any offsprings, of course, which we will never know, but I wonder if any Ripper offsprings were serial killers themselves.
Mm, yeah, really. No, we never will know.
No, of course not.
It's genetic. Who knows?
As elusive as he was, do you think if those murders would be occurring now, we would find out who it would be?
Well, we would certainly have forensics on our side today. Problem is, five murders in a month. I'm sorry to say, and sad to report, Jack the Ripper would be an amateur today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
How much attention would he get in this day and age? I mean, hell, we kill people by the hundreds today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Jack the Ripper was the first murders committed in the media age. Prior to that, there was no way for word to spread like that. That's why it was so sensational.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating, actually.
Indeed.
And a frightening.
Yeah, we've got a guy up in Cleveland right now. I think they found, I don't know if it's 11 or 13.
I think it was 11.
Yeah, he lived on Residential Street. He's 13 now. And he's been doing it for probably a couple years. And they're like, oh, we smelled somebody, thought it was the butcher shop next door. And they just keep dragging these people out. He just left them in the house, some of them.
Oh, my God.
Some of them are buried. They're just laying around the house. I know, it's just...
The woman that got away, that lady that got away, was the only reason why he got caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God, got away.
Yep.
We definitely live in a very disturbing world. There will always be Jack the Rippers out there.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So.
Yeah, it was, I'm looking at the pictures now, I was just like, wow.
Yeah, I know, hold on, these, let me pull these up, they're unbelievable.
It is.
That's the wrong one. Yeah, now they think that there may have been a sixth Ripper victim named Martha Tabram. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
Yeah, she, I don't know why they didn't consider this her to be a Ripper victim. This murder, she was disemboweled in the same way, and it only happened a number of days before Jack the Ripper's official first victim.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mary Nichols. These post-mortem photographs are very unsettling to look at.
Yes, there they are.
Yeah, Catherine Eddowes, I think, is the most disturbing, well, aside from Mary Kelly.
They all just, it got to me because they were all older women and they just looked like they had a really hard life to start with. And they were just doing what they had to do to survive because lived in such a terrible, poor part of town. And there was really nothing, because they were prostitutes, and there was really nothing else they could do. So they had children. Their husbands either left them or they were just drunk all the time and they ended up like that. That's really the saddest part to me.
Oh, terrible existence, to be sure.
Yeah, terrible, terrible time to be alive for those people in Whitechapel, really.
Indeed. Yeah, I wonder, if Jack the Ripper we don't know. I mean, he may have committed other murders after that. I mean, what do you think? Do you think maybe he came to America or went to another place? And, you know, is there any other unsolved murders, you know, like killing sprees in the United States or elsewhere?
There probably is.
Because we don't know that he stopped after that.
Right. No, we don't know. We just know it didn't happen there anymore. And yet he either had to have died or been put in prison or left.
Right. Or he could have been, you know, one of the people that was executed for, you know, another murder. It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, everything was so on focus over in England that it's very possible he could have came to the United States and, you know, committed maybe not as many murders or many heinous crimes as he did over there, and it just went unnoticed because everything was focused over there and all the fear was over there. You know, because as Americans, we are pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? What's a politically correct word?
Stupid?
Right.
Arrogant. Arrogant is better.
Okay. Arrogant. Yeah, we're a little arrogant. Yeah. Oh, it's funny.
There is.
I know I'm arrogant.
Well, the speculation is that he was an American as well. I mean, that's one of the backstories that Jack
I kind of go with that one.
Was from...
I kind of go he wasn't really from England.
Right.
Period. You know, either Australia or U.S. or whatever. Canada. I don't know. But,
you know, back then, travel wasn't as easy, though. So, you know, to get over there, you have to take a boat. And that's like a month-long trip, so...
Yeah, then you have to get through the...
Yeah, he didn't have to do the security. He could have committed the murder, jumped on a boat, and came back over here and lived the rest of his life here unnoticed.
Right. I don't think you even needed a passport to travel back then, did you?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think you just had, if you came into Ellis Island, which I think a lot of them did, you had to, if you were healthy, they just let you in. If not, they stuck you in the hospital or whatever. But I was looking, Jack Ripper stuff, I thought, and I got off on, I didn't know how many women serial killers there were.
Well, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was. I was like, what? And I was this one I'd heard of. But I'm going down through these other ones. There was like, what did they call that one? Arsenic Annie. She was from Cincinnati. So I'm like, what? You know, there's been several women serial killers. Usually it's her husbands, which, well. But quite a few husbands.
And that's where you just brought that up. I just watched on A&E, Dangerous Women or whatever, and there was a lady out in Oklahoma who got married 5 times and murdered 4 of her husbands and buried them in her yard.
Ew.
And then, involved her kids and everything. You know, she made them help her, and when she went to trial, she actually turned on her kids, trying to blame it on them, saying she was covering for them.
There was a couple of these women that did to her kids, too.
This was, like, not too long ago. This was, like, in 2004, 2005. They executed her.
Oh, really?
She sat on death row for 8 months, and they executed her. And it was 2004, 2005. I can't remember.
Wow.
She was a waitress in a bar, and she married younger men. And when she, instead of divorcing, when she was done, she just killed him.
Did she have any history of cannibalism?
No.
Okay.
Not according to the show. She didn't.
I love the reading I've been doing. It shows that a lot of serial killers have a bit of cannibalism in them. And
Really?
Oh, yes. And many of the, one of the Jack the Ripper letters also refers to frying up a kidney and eating it.
Hmm.
So I was just curious, you know, if she had a good
idea of
that.
Sounds like Hannibal Lecter or something.
Well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, let's look at Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, big time cannibal.
You know?
Oh, that's just sick. I mean, that was just, oh, God. Ugh.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I watched his biography because, like I said, I like to watch forensic stuff, but I about couldn't watch it for some reason.
Right.
He just gave off this, it was just the energy that he gave off. Even on the show, you're just like, oh, why would you even want to be around him, you know?
Right.
Is
of course,
there,
he picked him up at bars,
areas.
I think. He just gave off this really weird vibe. Like, I don't know what it was. Like,
he was a freak.
Maybe, yeah, like if the Jack the Ripper type could have been, you know, reincarnated, this is what it would have been. Just the way he was. The way he talked and expressed himself and, ugh. something going on there.
Serial killers are highly intelligent.
Well, I figured they probably would have to be to, if they're going to try to hide stuff. Like
that's
Ted Bundy.
A very interesting point. You know, I of course believe in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Jack the Ripper may have been reincarnated? Now, that's a very, very interesting thought.
Well, that would be up to Jack the Ripper, but
right.
You know, the whole point of being reincarnated is to try to clean that up when you come back. You know,
well,
of course, not all people can. They can do it sometimes.
You know, what an honorable person. But I mean, how do we know that like pure evil doesn't want to come back and? You know, better themselves. You know, in what they consider to be a higher state, perhaps.
Well, you brought up the point earlier about maybe having offspring.
Right.
You know, maybe that could be a descendant of one of his offspring. You know, who knows?
That's entirely possible.
Huh. I never thought about that though. About totally evil people wanting to reincarnate to do the same thing. I never even thought about that.
I never did until it just come to me.
That's something we might have to discuss later on.
Yeah, right.
You know, sociopathic people have no concept of remorse. So in their minds, they're not actually doing anything wrong.
Right.
Yeah, their id never kicked in.
Yeah, you know, so
it's all ego.
So that's a, I guess, a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would explain people like Hitler and Saddam Hussein. You know, every other left-wing wacko.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a Marcus Leader question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, where's Marcus when you need him?
Yeah, I know. I need to get a hold of him.
Yeah, we're due to have him back on with us.
Huh?
Yeah, we are due to have him back on with us. Let's just do it
I just keep forgetting to... Mm-mm. I will, I promise.
Cool.
I promise. Yeah, that's something I would ask him. Maybe he could explain that. Because I never thought of that. I just thought it automatically, for some reason, when you go over and you want to reincarnate, it'd be only to do better. But maybe that's not true.
Well, I think that there may be...
Or maybe you had good intentions, but you can't do it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think there would be sanctions and retribution on a whole higher power level if you were to come back and proceed with the actual work that you were doing before you died the first time. I don't necessarily think that. I don't know.
That's what we need to find out, because
right.
Then if that's the case, then you're talking about hell.
Right.
In a way.
Well, if you're looking at it from a religious standpoint, I guess it depends on what side of things.
Yeah, from a religious standpoint, yeah.
Well, from a religious standpoint, how do we know that Jack the Ripper wasn't a, you know, like a spawn of Satan, so to speak?
Exactly, you know. A lot of when you cross over, you automatically are expected to go to heaven, and some people may actually prefer to go to hell. And, you know, that's why they're here to spread the evil, to spread the fear.
Well, that's really... Hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't have... I don't know. I don't believe in hell.
I don't either,
level,
but...
You know, but...
Now, what's it sound like? No, I don't either. I don't believe in heaven or hell. I believe in the different levels, and, you know...
Right.
It's
right,
heaven
right.
in a way. Yeah. It is heaven in a way. It's not heaven, as they explain in the Bible, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right,
but,
right.
you know, I... But I never did believe in hell, because I think that's where we are anyway.
Right.
That or purgatory.
Yeah, well, purgatory probably fits better. My friend Jill's a catechism
Catholic.
Teacher. Yeah, very devout. Yeah, but she's cool. She's my buddy forever. And that's what she thinks, too. She's like, I don't know about this hell thing. She says, I kind of go with purgatory. And I'm like, I kind of can understand that, you know.
Well, I mean, I guess my outlook on the whole situation is that this is the starting point for our energy, our existence, okay? But I also think it is purgatory in a sense of retribution for the souls that have done wrong in the past and have passed over and is sent back to relive and relearn and get to that level of enlightenment that needs to be had before you can move to the next plane.
So what you're saying is then it's just like... The next level in purgatory. That's what you got to deal with.
Right.
Because this is purgatory.
Right.
And that's a good theory, but I mean, I know some truly evil people.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the only purpose that they have on their life is to make sure you're miserable and things around you are miserable. And
yeah, I got an ex-wife,
you
know,
so too. And they are good at it, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So what drives a person to be like that? Because I've known similar people. I mean, what makes a person just strive for that and nothing else?
That's another question that we won't ever be able to answer.
That, or
well,
like I said, it could be...
Basically, they claim it's nature and nurture.
Well, and that and being the
starting
point,
psychological about it,
maybe it is in our lifetime, it is those people that would have started off within our lifetime as well and have not gone to the next level and then reincarnate, you know?
Or Eric, could somebody that has, I don't know how often souls actually form either. I mean, maybe it's a new soul. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, there's just, I mean, now we're getting into, you know, existence as a whole, and I don't, you know, the four of us here on the...
Oh, I never thought of all that stuff. I never thought about that.
Right,
seriously, I never did. I guess I just can't figure out why you want to reincarnate, and that's how you do better. But I guess that's just not true.
I love the reincarnation subject. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many...
You believe, man, that you choose your righteous script when you come back and reincarnate.
You're real, real muffled, Joni.
Yeah, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, really?
There you go. You're better.
Okay. What are you doing?
Nothing.
You're walking around is what you're doing.
No, I'm not. I have been sitting down the whole time this time. Swear to God, I've been sitting right here.
You are so full of poop.
No, seriously. I probably got people. You know what happens when we talk about this stuff? I get these friends of mine kind of swirl around in the room, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So drawn in these energies and stuff. But now I forget what we're talking about.
And I'm the one on the pink fuzzies.
Okay. No, I have no pink fuzzies. My slippers. Sandman, you believe that we write our own script when we choose to reincarnate?
Yeah, I tend to believe along those lines, yes.
That we have to challenge ourselves to move higher when we go back, cross back over the next time.
Well,
and we don't have to be
higher. I mean, I think I tend to think that we move from this existence to the next existence and then back. I mean, I think, you know, in my opinion, those are the two existences, you know, this one and the other. And I think we bounce between the two constantly.
What I mean by saying higher, that your soul is more evolved every time you cross over.
Well, I mean, that would be one
thing. Or should be.
Should be, rather, you know. Right. Just like a child learns as they grow, I think our souls are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us don't learn.
Right, so, you know, when that person reaches that level of existence or that level of knowledge and pass over, I mean, do you believe that maybe it's a willing choice that we are coached like on the other side as to, okay, you know, we missed this, you know, this lesson and this lesson and this lesson, that before you can, you know, you got to make a choice here now before you can, you know, go to the higher level, to the next plane, you need to have learned what you were supposed to learn.
I think there's probably individuals on the other side that attempt to coach and encourage spirits gone wrong, but mm-hmm. I don't think that anybody can truly, you know, enforce it. You know, I think mm-hmm. that we merely do our best to help, guide individuals. But I think, it's like I always say, a jerk in life, a jerk in death.
Right.
And sometimes you just can't get away from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that brings up the ones that don't cross over. You know.
Right. You know.
Well, you know, like interactive spirits and stuff. Or are they crossing over, coming back when they want to? I don't know.
Or, that's a good question to think about. Now, do you think that all of the evidence and all of the, you know, the pictures, the EVPs, the shadow people, the evidence that all of us that have gathered is actually spirits that have passed away, but either one are fighting to not cross over, are afraid to cross over, want to, like you said, a jerk in death, a jerk in, you know, life and death,
right.
Then maybe it's, you know, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be judged. Suicides, I don't want to cross over because I don't want to be judged. You know, I mean, you guys think it might be that possibility that those are the evidence that we gather when we go out and do an investigation?
Well, I'm certainly open to that possibility. And going back about 8 years, you know, the first EVP I had ever recorded was a female voice stating I'd probably be gone. You have to ask yourself, where did she go? Mm-hmm. Did she reincarnate back onto this side, or did she move on to an existence above where she was at? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of into the theory of it's the two momentum or poles, whatever you want to call it. Like
you're flipping out again, Joni.
So that we just pick it up, maybe, and then we don't even pick us up over there and I'll hear you, and you know.
You were so flipping out, and we didn't understand a word you said.
Not a word you said. It was like the teacher on Charlie Brown.
What the heck? Okay, I kind of, which is what I believe, that I'm on the theory that there are two different planes that intersect at certain times.
Right.
As in the thinning of the veil thing.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, we're here.
We're thinking.
Okay. That's kind of what I think. Though but then again, I do think sometimes people take a while to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I
for whatever reason.
I tend to agree with the whole retribution thing. I think some people don't want to be judged. I think a lot of people don't want to cross over because they're afraid of what's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, especially like children, you know, the EVPs with the children and things, I think that they don't know where to go or, you know, they're afraid
well,
to
there,
go.
Well, there, you know, should be guides coming to get them and help them over.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Or at least
yeah.
that's what
well,
I was
you
hoping.
Know, you know.
Well, if it was a brutal instance, then
right.
you've already, I mean, the children at that point have already lost any type of, trust in anyone else other than their own family members who are lost to them. I mean, for example, let's take the Valeska Axe Murder House.
Mm.
The parents were killed in one room and everyone else was killed in another room. Maybe...
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe they can't find each other.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's one reason, you know, they can't find each other. So, okay, you know, I can't go anywhere until I find my mom and my dad or my sister or my brother.
You mean in the house?
Yeah.
They can't get them in the house?
Or, why is he hanging up? Crazy cracker. Or then, you know, if someone is, say, a higher power is coming down for them, that they are so terrified that, you know, it might be the person that did this brutal thing to me that they run away.
Right. Exactly.
So
mm-hmm.
before we get any further, we have DJ Sock Puppet on the line with us. Justin, are you there?
Justin?
Wait, I thought this was the pizza place.
There ain't no damn pizza here, boy.
No pizza,
30
sorry.
Minutes or it's free.
What's up, folks?
Hi, how are you?
So,
I am doing marvelous.
Cool. Well, you know, we're kind of talking spirits and, you know, crossing over and purgatory and it being, you know, a reincarnate. You've been listening in, haven't you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course I have. I've been in there listening. I've listened from Jack the Ripper to, you know, discussions on heaven and hell. And you
yeah,
know,
we kind of get off topic.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
We came to the conclusion that purgatory was actually Mississippi.
And you know what? I actually came to believe that penance is that mullet you're wearing.
Oh.
It is, brother. All business up front, party in the back.
Hey, at least some people looked at my long hair. They didn't hear Freebird playing in the background.
Yeah, he just can't grow a good.
No,
mullet.
They were
it's,
listening.
It's jealousy.
Right.
That's what it is.
They were just looking for.
I know where you're going with
this. Right. They were looking for Kid Rock, yo.
No.
They were looking for Pam Anderson. Yeah. Where's Pam at?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder if that's not, you know, back to the topic. If that's not a possibility where, you know, they're terrified of anyone other than their relatives and they can't find their relatives in the afterlife and they refuse to go anywhere with or without them.
Yeah, we just don't know. There's so much stuff we do not know, and we were talking the other day, and it's like when you get an answer to something, there's like five more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, whatever death is and whatever may lay on the other side, you know, it's waiting for each and every one of us.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the work into the paranormal research, I mean, it's almost like recon work.
Only way any of us will ever find out, and the only time that anybody will ever know what's waiting, is when they get there.
I would like to start interviewing some flatliners.
Mm-hmm.
See what I can learn in respect to that.
That's research, dude.
There's a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation on you know, NDEs and
right.
the you know, psychic abilities that they fall into after their experiences, and the visions and the psychic mediumship that follows
mm-hmm.
NDEs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think the white light that most flatliners discuss, do you think that is actually a portal, or do you think that's simply the mind closing in on itself?
I think it's the mind, honestly.
Yeah, like
I do too.
Like a chemical reaction.
Right. Well, I think what happens is that you perceive that white light because it's instilled in your head from the time
it's your reality. That's what you've been you've learned and believed, and it's your reality,
right.
which we all create our own reality. And
but that's what people want to see, you mean?
Right.
Well, there are lots of other people as well, though, that, I mean, there are people, there's been documentation of people all over the world that, you know, they don't know nothing about Jesus or God or, you know, the white light. Because a lot of people, you know, they talk about the white light at the end of the tunnel. They saw Grandma from 1976 and, you know, Mother Mary was at the end of the tunnel. I mean, depending on who it is, what religious, you know, sect they are, you know, I've heard stories from people. I've actually heard people tell me their stories. And, you know, there are people around the world that, you know, talk about the whole little, you know, the death experience, that people have had a death experience. And I've had friends that are missionaries that have been over to other countries, and they've heard these stories, but there's nothing about a white light or anything like that. You know, it's like, you know, I'm replying basically what Joni said, you know, what people, you know, they had that ingrained in their head, you know, that's what they were brought up to believe. I think a lot of it, and this is my opinion, is just like, you know, when you're dying or when you're getting close to death, you know, a lot of people when they're drowning, you know, or anybody due to lack of oxygen, when your brain starts shutting down due to lack of oxygen, you hallucinate. And I think a lot of these people are having hallucinations. And, you know, some of them may be valid spiritual experience, but I think a lot of it is just plain out, you know, your brain's losing oxygen, so you're going a little loco before, you know, you either kick the bucket or you're revived.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I mean, you know, if we see what we want to see when we die, then I'm probably going to pass over and see strippers.
Yeah, well, that's what
life.
They say. I mean, that's
right.
The thing. It's whatever you think you're going to see when you get there,
right.
That's what you're going to see. But then in a couple of weeks, you're going to find out it's not what you thought was going to be.
Yeah, but
it's your perceived reality, and, you know, once you get over there and are there for a while and see everything that's there, your reality kind of just goes.
Well, see,
that's
and
really
most,
it really is.
Most of Christian beliefs, and just say, like, NDEs from the Christian faith, I mean, you're instilled, like I said, from the time that you're able to understand the English language, that when you pass away, there is a white, warm light that will come to you and will take you to the heavens above.
And you even see it on television.
Right. And I think that a lot of that is a hallucination from, I mean, it's something that you perceive. And it's something that Marcus Leader said to us on the show at one time. Your afterlife, in certain instances, is what you create until you are ready to accept what's really there.
That's the reality.
Right.
You create your, that's what he was talking about, was you creating your own reality. And if you expect to go over there and see angels and gold arches or whatever, that's what you're going to see. But that's what you, your whole life's your reality. You created your life, you know?
Right, right.
I don't think
necessarily
buy that, but I mean, you know,
their own reality.
Was that?
Go ahead.
That could explain the reason why, you know, we discussed earlier about people coming back over to communicate. They got over there and realized it wasn't what they thought it was going to be, and they wanted to get back here to the reality they had created while they were here. you know, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, because, you know, if they get counseling when they're over there and they want to come back and try to fix their karma up a little bit so they can ascend to a higher level. Yeah, because I do think that's what they learn. I think that's what they do. They go over there and they thought, well, I could be an even better soul or whatever entity if I go back and fix what I did.
You know, oftentimes, also, I've thought of this, you know, if I were to die, I don't think that I would want to go anywhere. I think that I would probably, you know, watch over my girlfriend and my children. I don't think I would want to leave. I think that a lot of spirits are probably the same way.
Yeah, they probably are. But, you know, I've read several places that you won't even know who they are when you're there.
Right.
I hope that's not the
case. I have read that several places. Well, no, you won't know because you won't even know who they were.
Right.
I mean, now I'm thinking about that. But over there, you know.
Right. Well, if that's the case, I mean, how much knowledge will we lose when we die? I mean, because, you know, I feed my mind constantly. I read constantly. And if I'm going to lose all of that at the point of death.
I think you wouldn't lose whatever it took to develop your soul.
Well,
I mean, that's the whole point.
You don't lose who you are.
It's so important, though.
You don't lose who you are, and your knowledge and the base of who you are, you don't lose that at all. Because, I mean, look at the people that, you know, do come back. You know, the people that come back, you know, not residual, but just like an actual haunting.
Right.
You know, they carry that personality about them. And, you know, if you lost knowledge or you lost life experience when you pass over, your soul, pretty much you would be antiseptic. It'd be like being a Vulcan almost. You wouldn't have any personality or, you know, it'd be like being Spock.
Well, hold on a second now. Vulcans only have sex every 7 years. That ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to work.
And it's a really big deal, too.
Yeah, that ain't
going to work. Yeah, I mean, ask Captain Kirk. You know, he got
right.
He got beat up for cock blocking, you know, spot.
Right.
There's so many questions, and we're going to have a great big list for Marcus when he gets back on.
Well, and this is one thing I wanted to comment on about, you know, you were talking about we were just talking about the, you know, in the Christian mindset, you know, when, you know, even if they, you know, they may not be, you know, follow a Christian faith, you know, later in life, but when you're growing up, you know, you're thinking about the white light, and, you know, when you die,
right.
You go to heaven or hell or whatever, you know. Have you noticed that 9 out of 10 people that do this, like, you know, and I'm not talking about, like, everybody, but 9 out of 10 that say they saw the white light or anything like that, you know, most of the stories you hear about, or not most of them, but the majority that I hear anyway, the person either died or almost died doing something they had no business doing, you know, whether it was a drug overdose or...
No, I've had people, I don't even know for you, but...
Doing it again, Joni.
We're losing you, hon.
What is with that? Okay,
there you go.
Okay. I don't know. I'm sitting here. She went through this. She had a car accident. It was a horrible accident, and she had to go to rehab and everything to learn to walk again. And she teaches catechism, and she went through that. She went through the white light thing.
Yeah,
and she told, and she's got angels all over her house now.
And that,
yeah,
oh, that's great. That's awesome. It's like I've noticed though with some of the stories I've heard, and you know this is why I don't believe in the white light theory. I really, in some cases, yes, but, you know, I'm a skeptical believer. I believe in what I see, and depending on the person, if I know them, I'll believe them just based on word of mouth. But, like, you know, when you got dude, you know, over in the corner that's been shooting heroin, you know, 3 years, if he's lucky enough to live that long, and he talks about, well, I OD'd and I saw a white light, you know, and God said, you know, come into my kingdom, but I turn around and come back. You know, on the Christian faith, just, you know, based on Christian faith, you're sitting there abusing your body, you know, basically you're living in sin from a Christian perspective, which I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm just saying from the Christian outlook on things, you know.
Well,
that's
BS.
That's not a life after death experience, because if you're about to check out and you live the life that you're not supposed to be living, you're doing wrong by others, you're doing wrong to yourself, you're not going to see a white light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to hear a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, and it gets hot very quick. I mean, from the Christian perspective, like I said, I'm not saying, you know, for whatever anybody else on the conversation believes, but, you know, from the Christian standpoint, that's what's going to happen, you know. So that's what really bothers me about so-called Christians. They believe everybody goes to heaven, because I've actually seen funerals, and I've actually been to a couple that the dude, you know, you know, killed himself, or, you know, he ex'd somebody and then he killed himself. And they talk about, well, he was a member of this church. He hadn't shown up in about 10 years, but he was a member of this church, and he's with God now because he's released from his demons.
Well, now, the Catholics don't believe like that, do they? I mean, if you commit suicide, I mean, you're
Catholics,
right?
Yeah, Catholics on that level are, no, you do not do that. That is a go
right.
directly to hell. Do not get out of
that
jail.
That is a cardinal sin.
Religions believe that, too, which is not the Catholics. But then here comes another question. So if there's a white light and you see a white light, are you seeing it with your brain or are you seeing it with your soul?
That is a very good question.
It depends on
different people. Like I said, the heroin junkie that's about to check out, he may be seeing it with his mind due to lack of oxygen and chemical overload. The person that, you know, may just be dying for whatever reason, whether it's lack of oxygen to the brain or whatever, they may be seeing it with their soul. It's different for everybody. That's what I'm looking at. It's different for – it could be a different thing for different people because – it could be, you know, let's say in my, you know, my life as a Christian, God could be manifesting himself towards me if I'm dying as a sign saying, you better shape up or I got a job for you to do and you better do it and I'm sending you back. Or, you know, it could be one of those that, you know, if somebody's dying, it's like, okay, I'm showing you that I am here. I do exist. Now let me ask you this.
If you are dying and you see the white light, and this question's for everybody, are you going to embrace the light or are you going to move away from the light?
I've heard a lot of people people that saw it that wanted to go into it and they told them they couldn't go yet, they had to go back.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's happened. If it's me, if I'm going and if I'm meant to be there, I'm gonna go.
Because that would probably relate to your reincarnation.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
that being said, I think I'm going to get on the proverbial people mover, and I'm going to go to where St. Peter tells me to go. And,
right.
You know, wherever, dude, you know, if I'm meant to do this, this is what I'll do. If I'm meant to go back and learn another lesson, then I'm coming back and doing that.
Oh, you're Greg, right? You're that guy that made fun of that guy Justin, said he looked like Kid Rock. Yeah, you're going straight to hell.
No, dude, let's get it right. We always said you look like Joe Dirt.
Don't know nothing wants you around here, Dirt.
I look like Joe Dirt, but you're sporting the mullet.
Yeah, I
was going to
say, you threw the mullet remark out there, man.
That's like the pot calling the kettle black.
Okay, I've got to make an announcement. I have an announcement.
Yes.
The Cleveland Browns just defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 13-6.
Oh, that is funny.
Right on. Okay. I live just south of Pittsburgh, and I got to tell you what, I hate the Steelers.
Thank you.
I know what you're saying. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I know.
That's made my day.
Oh, there'll be a sobbing tonight.
Yeah.
I'm locking the doors.
Build us a stadium. Where?
Someone, you know, somebody didn't play right. Or
the Browns, dude.
Paul Malu, I don't think he's played for several weeks. That hurt him right off the bat.
Yep.
And Ben's had way too many concussions.
Wow.
Only on Greg and Joni's show would you go from Jack the Ripper
to the
destination of your soul where you die to sports.
You know,
I love it.
Hey, it is a variety show.
Yeah.
Where's Carol Burnett when you need her?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the white light, Gary, for 1 second.
Sure.
Okay.
From our mother. She
I know her mother.
Taught us that you have
Mike's my brother, Justin, by the way.
Oh, Mike. Oh, nice to meet you.
You have Judgment Day. So you automatically go to the pearly gates to be told whether you are allowed in or if you're going to have to take the escalator down. So, in theory, you would see the white light regardless of what kind of person or how you died, because you'd have to go towards your judgment. Then, once you get your sentence or whatever,
you have to go before the throne, the seat of God, and receive your sentence. Or
right,
you got to receive your penance or sentence, as we used to call it.
Yeah. So you would, regardless of how you died or what kind of person you were, you would still end up seeing the white light to get to where you needed to go. Mm-hmm. Where you needed to go. which, you know, that's what I was always taught. And
yeah, that's what we grew up with, yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of I want to ask this. What doctrine? I'll just say this. What doctrinization were y'all raised in?
Church of Christ.
What now?
Church of Christ.
Oh,
very,
wow.
Very.
Y'all are very well. They're like a watered down version of where I go.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm very Pentecostal.
There's no music, and I mean, there's no music.
Oh no, God! I do not believe in that.
No,
that is retarded.
No. Anything I mean, unless the Bible said play a piano, we're not doing it. That's how strict they are.
And what's bad is if you go back and look in the you look in the Bible, it says, you know, it talks about King David. Now this dude's a king, you know, and homeboy's out dancing in front of this whole procession going through the city, like, and everybody thinks he's drunk, like a drunken idiot. And it says in the Bible, you know, make music and praise unto the Lord with stringed instruments, or, you know, I'm trying to remember the exact phrase. But, I mean, they sit there and say, you know, it's okay to make music.
And I got to cut loose.
That's why we sing.
Loose.
That's why we sing with no music. Oh, God.
The main problem I have with religion, this is my main problem with religion. That's why people ask me, say, oh, you're a religious man. I'm like, no, I'm a Christian. Religion gets you in trouble. You know, because the main problem I have with religion, you know, and it stems a lot from, you know, Catholicism, and it stems from, like, you know, like, the Way Out organizations, and I'll throw Pentecostals in there even though I am one. You got these people that sit there and tell you, okay, don't use birth control, Catholics. You know, they sit there and you got some that'll sit there and tell you, well, you can't donate blood, you can't drink caffeine, Mormons, you know. They say, well, you can't give blood because the blood is a life. You're basically leaking out your soul when you give blood to somebody.
They can't get transfusions either.
Yeah, they don't give transfusions.
Mm-hmm.
They say, we don't take any unclean substance into our body. That's why we don't drink caffeine. We don't do this, that, and the other. And I got into a debate with the Mormon. This was several years ago. I said, by your own admission, you're sinning as we speak. He's like, pardon? I said, the lady over there is smoking. You're breathing in secondhand smoke. I said, the carcinogens in the air anyway, the pollution in the natural-born air, you're breathing that in, so you're sinning by own default. I said, dude, that's BS. I said, when God said, don't defile the temple that I gave you for your soul, I said, that doesn't mean that you just sit, I mean, you don't have to go overboard with it. It just means, you know, don't purposely sit there and do things to yourself to injure and maim and mutilate. And that's the main problem I have with religion is because they take a good concept and they twist it around to fit their own needs, like the Catholic Church did back during the Roman Empire, you know, when they were built up, you know, when they started building up after, you know, Jesus was crucified and Constantine instituted, you know, okay, Christianity, that's where we're going.
You know, and that's the thing, though. I mean, that's the thing with organized religion.
It was a basis for power.
You know, it's basically you will conform to what we say. And that's all it was. It was to control the masses.
You will do what we say, or we will send you to hell.
This is what's going to happen to you. Yep.
I don't, like I said, I mean,
And I tell people, if you want to be a Christian, don't sit here and say, take what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't.
Well, you know, exactly.
You pray to God, you know, your higher power, whatever you call it. You seek, when you reach out and say, okay, I want to know what it's all about, it's going to come to you. You don't sit there. You don't have to sit there and listen to what somebody else says, or, you know, whatever somebody else tries to shove in your face. Find it for yourself.
Right, it'll come to you. When the pupil's ready, the teacher will appear, and it will come to you. But you better be willing to accept it.
Exactly.
And that's what I tell people. And I mean, I get into discussions with people, you know, within my own, you know, for want of a better term, religious sect, you know, and they're like, dude, you're. I mean, I've heard people say, it's like, that's kind of outlandish thinking, for what we believe. I said, I believe the same thing you believe. I said, the difference between me and you, I'm not going to hammer it into somebody's face. I said, that's how I came, you know, to the realization of where I was. I said, I was brought down low to be brought back up. And I said, it came to me when I asked for it. I said, nobody come up to me. You know, you remember when Jade made the comment on, you know, our old radio show, you know, about the guy walking up doing the card tricks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and then you got the guys that, you know, do the little picketing and stuff. You know, that's not how you do it. I mean, that's not how you do it. I mean,
right.
An organized religion, whether they sit there and say, you're going to go to heaven to hell for this or that, or, you
well,
know, when you see
yeah.
the white, and this rounds back to the white light tunnel, you know, the theory, you know, well, you saw heaven or you saw God, you know, you need to go out and do this and that and the other. You know, that's why I don't buy into white tunnel theories or white light theories a whole bunch, because, you know, I see it as a method of people, you know, in certain circumstances, not all of them, but I see that as a certain, you know, it's kind of like a trigger to bring the fanatics out of the woodwork. And they sit there and prey on these people that went through a traumatic experience, and they try to just conform them into something they don't really need to be.
Right, right. Well, listen, you guys, that being said, I think we've come to a point to where, you know, nobody is ever really going to know the answers until, well, we get there.
That day comes, right.
You know, so, but that being said, I want to thank Sandman for coming on and talking with us tonight here on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio, and Justin for giving us a call in and joining in the conversation. Mike, for
it's nice to talk to you guys.
It's been a long time. And Mike, thank you for coming on and getting ready for next week, because I think next week I'm going to be talking like this. So that's right. So I'm gonna let you off here, Justin. I'm gonna let you off here, Sandman, and we're gonna wrap up the show.
Adios,
right.
Guys.
Take care of yourself.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.
You
we'll
too.
Talk to you
we'll
soon.
See you later.
Adios.
Bye bye. So that's right, you guys. That was Midwest Prayer Talk Radio, and you know. It was kind of funny how, oops, my bad. Who's calling?
Hello?
Who's calling? Hello?
I don't know. The phone, this is Justin again, but my phone rang.
That was freaky. Skype is jacking up.
I didn't do it.
Oops.
I didn't do nothing.
Skype is freaking out on me. That is funny. So, yeah, that being said. But, yeah, you know, I mean, only on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio can you go from the extreme Jack the Ripper to the religious to the afterlife and the here life and all that good junk. So
football
and football
NFL scores.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just happy. That's all I can say.
Am I pissing you off, Fafa?
There you go.
Silence! I kill you!
Holy crap.
Ahmed.
Ahmed, yeah. Ahmed. So, all right, guys. Well, that being said, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to jump off here. Remember, check back with us next week at 10 Eastern on Midwest Prayer Talk Radio. PC from Prayer Challenge Radio will be on with us. And, yeah, Justin, I called you back. I didn't mean to. Skype is freaking out on me. Skype is jacked. Jack.com. So anyway, so yeah, you guys make sure you check back next Thursday night. We're going to kick it all off at 8 p.m. with Bewitching Hour with Kimmy J. I'll be with her, but I won't be talking. Then we got Supernatural Rising at 9 Eastern, and then Midwest Prayer Talk Radio here at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So definitely check out the archive. It's MidwestPrayerTalkRadio.podomatic.com. And give it a listen, give it a download, give it a rating, join, become friends, and all that good jazz. So that being said, that's pretty much all I have to say.
Okay. I'll just say bye.
Is that all you're going to say, seriously?
That's all I'm going to say.
I'm okay, it works.
Yep. I got to hit the sheets. I got to get up in 4 hours.
So. Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's right, you do. Yeah, he has an early rising job.
Oh, yeah. Yuck. Yeah, I got to be there at 7, but I don't know that I'm going to make it there at 7.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be there at
5. Holy crap. All right, well, get off here, you guys. And,
talk to you later, Mike.
I will talk to you guys later. Thank you very much, Mike, and I'll talk to you guys. And that being said, good night, everybody. Thank you for listening to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Midwest Prayer Talk Radio, brought to you by Midwest Prayer Talk Productions here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And don't forget to check out all the great shows here on the ASPRN Network, like Crossroads Paranormal Radio, Ghostly Talk, Etherland Live, IGH Radio, Night Watchers, Parachallenge Radio, Paranormal Encounters Radio, Paranormal Outreach Radio, Residual Hauntings Live, and Tales from Beyond, all on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.